A modest garden that has memorialized Nashville's child victims of homicide for more than 20 years is about to undergo a transformation. The longtime organizers say that solely keeping track of the children's names is not enough. So they're beginning to gather and share the stories of these children, as well as studying the circumstances of their deaths. WPLN's Tony Gonzalez reports.
It was September, the start of fall, when Kenda Watkins last heard his son's voice over the phone.
The wind, the coldness had started coming, and he told me that he needed a jacket. And I was just like so amazed because he just wouldn't ask me for stuff. I guess he was trying to show me that he could be a man or something.
Kenda Jr. hadn't been staying with his family and had been in some trouble with the juvenile justice system. He was a couple weeks away from his 18th birthday.
I think the next phone call wasn't a good phone call. Man, that'd be the most important phone call probably in my life. I just remember they said that he got shot. And I thought, all right, he'll be all right. Got shot. Then I think another family member called and just said he wasn't going to make it.
Kenda Watkins Jr. became one of the nearly two dozen young people murdered in Nashville in the past 2 years. They're being remembered by victims' advocacy group, You Have the Power, which has organized the Children's Memorial Garden since 1996. It was that year, says founder Andrea Conti, that a similarly troubling series of child gun deaths prompted its creation.
Of course, there were news reports for some of them, but those news stories disappear. And so there was no permanent place where we remembered these kids.
The garden became that place, although it remains largely unknown outside of the families, advocates, and law enforcement who attend annual ceremonies.
There's 234 children that are remembered there. And, I mean, it's pretty shocking when you think of that number.
The Children's Memorial Garden is not far from the epic Parthenon replica in Centennial Park, but the garden is understated. And because of its location within the park, down in a low-lying area, water and mud often washes over here, obscuring the bricks and the names of those children.
I went over there, and I was there at the founding. I've been there for ceremonies. I did not know who most of these children were, and that's something I should have known. We know their names, maybe. We can make a list of their names, but we really need to know who they were.
So after 22 years, a new beginning for the garden. The space will be updated, but the mission has broadened. The children will now be remembered in annual memory books and a website. Conti gathered a volunteer team, mostly former journalists like Tam Gordon, to assemble the stories.
I didn't know what I was taking on, and I really didn't know the emotional toll that it was going to take.
As Gordon gathered old articles, spoke to families and funeral directors, she would often be overcome, setting the project aside for a few days. There was the girl who loved dancing, fatally shot on her front porch during a birthday party. The two sisters, ages 5 and 8, killed by their stepbrother. And the boy who wanted to be a teacher, shot defending his mom during a home invasion.
The children, the little children, and, you know, mom sets fire to the house because she's upset and kills the child. I mean, we have two of those among these children who have passed away, and the abuse, that's just the neglect that makes no sense.
It was Gordon who began talking with Kenda Watkins Sr., whose son was gunned down in East Nashville. She drew out memories of the teen's religious upbringing and his love of football. The father has had to think a lot about the challenges his son faced: peer pressure, easily available pain pills, violent video games.
So it's different devils coming at different kids depending on the environment.
And in their case, this troubling tension, that Kenda Sr. did work to be involved in his son's life.
I think he was a child that wanted to fit in. Right now, kids of color, there's not a lot of fathers around. And you're the only one that got a father. It's like, it's almost not like cool.
It was only after losing his son that he found a letter that the teen had been writing.
He was apologizing for his actions and his wrongs. And then he wanted to talk about his friends, didn't have no daddy. He just wanted to fit in and be cool with homeboys of his that didn't have no father. That was it.
Learning from these families, about the causes of violence and how to prevent it is central to the evolving mission of You Have the Power. But for now, there's plenty of daunting work to do just gathering the stories behind the other 200 names in the garden. For WPLN News, I'm Tony Gonzalez.